8:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Cohn, and Mike Preston from Baltimore Sun, baltimoresun.com. Mike, the Baltimore Ravens head down to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers, both teams 4-2. They're taking on a familiar opponent in one Baker Mayfield, who is, by the way, having an outstanding season so far for the Bucs. What are the keys to the game for the Baltimore Ravens, according to Mike Preston?
First of all, stop their receivers. I mean, Evans.
Godwin.
And Godwin. Those guys are very good. Two, if you look at the Ravens' losses, and then some people will say, you know, they couldn't find Derrick Henry and the right formula. That has nothing to do with it. They got beat by better defensive lines in that game. In both of those teams, the Raiders and the Chiefs, their defensive lines are very good. And, again, the Chiefs showed that again yesterday. But Tampa Bay has a pretty good defensive line. Now, and what do you do with those the guards? You can have Lindenbaum isolate on one, but all their guys up front are pretty good. So what happens to the other guy? Those are the keys to the game. And again, the Ravens secondary, they ranked 31, yeah. 32, and then they got to stop these guys. Interesting. And Baker Mayfield, for all his shortcomings, guys played pretty well this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baker is one of those guys, Ed, who needed to get out of his situation in Cleveland like everybody else. Free me from Cleveland. That should be the cry. But it's obvious that, you know, between his coach leaving and going to the Bengals when he first got hired and all the other situation that he's been in, he's that quarterback, man. I'm happy to see him have some success.
I am too. Obviously, you know, I like the Bucs and I'm happy to see he's playing well. But I think he was treated terribly in Cleveland. He's got his shortcomings for sure. But I thought they really, really treated him poorly.
It's Cleveland.
Yeah, they just
they're dying for any sort of success.
Yeah, but they just did him dirty. I mean, really, the way they treated him.
Well, he had a terrible second year after coming. I guess
he played hurt for them though. Too.
I know that's the other part. That this is the thing that we're not privy to as fans sometimes of what these guys have gone through and playing. Like, you hear it from players after the fact, either when they're retired or maybe the injury happens, it's the off season. Like, I was trying to play through this injury and they didn't help me out. I mean, you look at baseball players that get cut or benched, whatever it is, so they can't reach their, like the Pirates did this year, they can't reach their bonuses. And then you've got guys that are like taking shots just so they can play on Sunday, and who knows what it's doing for the rest of their career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And seeing the Baltimore Ravens head down there to this 4-2, the 4-2 record, Mike. You know, we sometimes scrutinize people's records and we say all 4-2 aren't created equal. Do you think they're legitimately that team, that 4-2 team, or are they a product of their opponents?
I think it's a combination of both, but they do play hard. I mean, that team is okay. They're not great, and I don't know if they can match the Ravens. Physicality, if there's such a word. But it's interesting. The dynamics are there for this matchup, if you look at it. Todd Bowles, I mean, he's one of the better defensive minds in the NFL, and he's matching up with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
You know he's going to be able to hide some things and take some things away from Lamar. And people need to remember, despite Lamar's success, the only person he throws the ball outside the numbers to is Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's strictly in the middle of the field. So you think Todd Bowles isn't going in this game and saying, let's take that away and see what happens. It's all interesting.
Ed, they've beaten the Commanders, the Lions, and the Eagles. That's pretty legit.
No, it's legit. This is, I told you, this game, I believe the Ravens come out on top. But this is going to be a close game. They were a good team. I think everyone was so high on the Falcons preseason that they overlooked the Buccaneers, who won that division the last couple of years. I just think they're a lot better than people expected.
Yeah.
Look, tonight's going to be interesting just because of we got a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. You're going on the road after having some success at home. And we've talked about how this team has looked stacking these W's. You got to keep doing that because the next part of your schedule, I'm not saying it's easy. You got some divisional games, but you got some teams that are downtrodden, and I think you can just take care of them. Like, right. I know it's divisional, but I don't see any issues with the Browns, even if Jameis Winston is starting at quarterback. You got two games left with them. You get to see Cincinnati again, who just picked up another W. Thank God for that kickoff return at the beginning of the game. They looked terrible against the Browns again, but they found a way to win. So, and then you look over at the Steelers picking up a big win. You got to get this win tonight and then just keep handling business and we'll see what happens.
Especially in the second half, because that's when you have those stretches of like 3 games in 12 days or 3 games in 15 days. That's rough.
13? You're right. People forget that with the Thursday night football and everything else. Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on Fan. Let's go to Hubie in Baltimore. What's going on, Hubie?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, man. How are you?
So much for Deshaun Watson. He was good at Clemson and with the Texans, but I think he's done from here on out. But I ain't called to talk about that. Let's talk about the Ravens' offensive line, man. You know, you can run a truck through there. Henry, hey, big as Henry is, look how wide they be opening those gaps. But tonight, Tampa Bay got some quick linebackers. Let's see how fast those holes close. I hope the Ravens don't stay one-dimensional. I hope they play like last week, and let's get this victory and keep moving forward.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Thanks a lot, Hubie. Appreciate the call. Yeah, the offensive line, Mike, you said this before, great run blockers. And they can be good pass blockers if other teams don't know they're going to throw the football.
Yep. And to be honest, look at the teams they've played. I mean, Dallas, they can't stop the run. Buffalo can't stop the run. Cincinnati couldn't stop the run. Yeah, you're going to get better. You're going to get better. But tonight, we'll find out how good they really are. Because those guys up front for Tampa Bay, they can play.
See, I buy into some of the things. Ed brought it up earlier about after the hurricane. We saw this, you know, if you remember the opening night, the year the Saints went to the Super Bowl, and we had that block punt from Steve Gleason, who now has ALS, you know, and a big story there. But they played some inspired football after Hurricane Katrina. I'm not saying that something like this is going to drive them, but you brought up, like, fans are going to be into it tonight. They're looking for something to do.
Listen, this was the worst hurricane on the planet this year. That area is devastated. And I don't think people realize that because you're not living. I was there. It's like they're all looking forward to this. That's all people are talking about. I believe in that stuff, that people get a little more when they've galvanized a little bit because they all had to flee too. The human beings, they had to leave with their families.
X factor. I think it's the X factor in the game. I covered the year they had the riots down at the Super Bowl in Overtown. And, man, it was nasty. And I was one of the few black reporters that actually went over into Overtown and watched them burn up the city. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a night later, Michael Jordan comes to town. It was total calm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He just walks in, plays the game, and people were... We need something to give us some kind of comfort, some kind of peace.
I'm sure they're going to make something tonight about this. Because I sent you guys stuff. People, listeners should know this. Like Helene was a couple weeks ago, 18,000 cubic yards of debris and damage. Milton, 5 million cubic yards. 18,000 to 5 million. This was a storm of a century, and they're gonna play with that tonight.
And it's not me saying because they had a hurricane, all of a sudden they're going to come out and win this game. I'm just saying you get an inspired crowd, and I think players feed off that stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
They got a good defensive front. I still think the Ravens can run on them. But we'll see. I mean, we shall see.
I think you could give them 3 extra players, and the Ravens are still going to run on them. I mean, like, I just...
Yeah, I agree.
The way that this running game is gone, it's just...
Well, I think Vita Vea is the key. He's
huge.
Is the X factor, because he's questionable. He's been hurt.
Yeah, he's questionable.
I heard he's playing.
Yeah, I bet he is. You think so?
Yeah, I heard he's playing.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I hear you on all the emotions and all those things. I hear you, but I think those are things that start early in the game. I think once the game is played, once you get into it, those emotions settle down, and it's time to play football. Will they be pumped up at the beginning? Yeah, I think so. It would be crazy not to. But when it's all said and done, they're going to go out there and have to make plays. And I think someone said it earlier, Ravens have players from that area as well who have homes that have been damaged as well. Let's not forget, I think that was the Saints versus the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Saints were a better team that year than the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, they were a better team that year.
No, the Saints weren't a good team that they weren't.
That was 06, wasn't it?
Nobody was expecting them to do anything. And then they went on that terrific run that year. Yeah, the Falcons, I remember that. The Falcons were favored on the road to beat the Saints.
And the Saints finished 10-6.
Yeah, they had a good season, but at the beginning of the year, nobody thought they were going to be good.
I understand, but they also, wasn't that early in Drew Brees' career?
Yeah, Drew Brees was there. Again,
nobody thought a whole lot about Drew Brees at the time. You know, I hear you.
Nick Saban made a good decision not bringing him to Miami, though.
That wasn't him. That was the front office. That's why he left Miami.
I'm kidding. I'm making
yeah, he
joke.
Left. Yeah, he left Miami because of that. He made a good decision to leave Miami. 410-583-1057. I just think when the game, when we get into that second quarter, then it's a football game. Those emotions go out the window. 410-583-1057. That's the number. We'll do our college football recap at 8:30, but on the other side, we'll take a look back at Week 7 Sunday games right here on The Fan. 8:18 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Mike Preston. Going around the National Football League, Ed, was there a game that stood out to you, either an upset or maybe a team emerged as one of the more dominant teams around?
Yeah, I think the Lions convinced me they're one of the best teams in football right now. That victory over the previously undefeated Vikings was a big deal.
I'm shocked.
Why?
Because you won the Lions before everybody. You needed yesterday to prove that to you?
No, just to prove I'm right.
Okay, I got you.
That's true. I've been on the Lions for 3 years. I didn't think they were going to be good. And now that was a big victory over a really good football team.
Jeremy, was there a game in the National Football League yesterday that stood out to you? Maybe a team, you know, kind of solidifying who they are, either good or bad?
I mean, I know, like, talking about Minnesota and Detroit, that's the one that everybody wanted to watch.
Right.
I think Kansas City, San Francisco. I don't know what to think about San Francisco. They lost Brandon Ayuk for the rest of the year. You know, Christian McCaffrey's been out for a while now. And their defense doesn't look all that great. It doesn't look like it has before. So I wonder about them in a division that's very, very winnable. Seattle might come out on top with when all is said and done, which would kind of surprise me. But we keep talking about Kansas City, and I don't know what to think about them. They keep winning, but I don't think they're good. They're very good defensively. Their offense sucks. It's terrible. Have you guys, go look at Pat Mahomes' numbers over the past couple weeks. Oh, look at him the whole season. He hasn't thrown for 300 yards once. He's thrown an interception in every game. It's just weird to kind of see Kansas City playing that style of football.
I don't care. They win.
Me either. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, but you could say that until they don't.
They win. They have a defense. Their defense keeps them in games.
Absolutely.
And Mahomes makes a play
when
he needs to.
And he makes plays when he needs to, and that's their formula. And it was their formula last year, and it got them into when they got hot at the end. They're going to get some people back.
He had, a touchdown run and two interceptions?
Did you see that touchdown run at the end where he just ran over? Six had been, just knocking people out the entire game, but he just ran over them.
And that was with a purpose.
And you saw him kind of, give him a little kick. Mm-hmm. What are you? Don't you know who I am? I'm Pat Mahomes. You're a rookie, son.
And something else that they're going to have to look into, we've been talking about the quarterbacks on the sideline. Pat Mahomes did the old okey-doke where a guy doesn't want to hit him on the sideline because there's going to be a 15-yard penalty, and he stops and cuts it back. I think they got to look at that. Go ahead.
That's a rule that will help the defense?
Yes.
They're not going to do it.
Okay.
They don't make rules to help the defense out but in the National Football League.
Hey, man, you get a free shot on Pat Mahomes running down the sideline. Take his ass out.
Okay. Even if it cost you 15 yards? All right.
Yeah. Did you see when Lamar was on the sideline and they took him out? Mm-hmm. Well, that's football. Mm-hmm. If you're in bounds, take him out.
That's my thing is if you're staying in and you're going to play that game, light their asses up on the sideline.
You know what became apparent to me yesterday?
What's that?
Mike McDaniel needs a hug. He looks 10 years older than when he hired him 3 years ago.
He's a quarterback.
Now he's 37.
Yeah.
They have arguably the best wide receiver weapon in football, and they can't get him the ball.
Literally cannot get him the football. Remember that time, Mike, you weren't in the studio when I said this to these guys. Remember that time people in Baltimore said, let Lamar Jackson walk. You've got Snoop. Remember that? Let Lamar walk. You got Snoop.
People did.
Yeah, they did they not?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you got Snoop. 7 of 13, 87 yards. Teams play 12 in the box against Tyler. You know why? Because he can't throw downfield. They load 12 in the box.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered because if we'd have kept McSorley, he'd clearly be here starting.
Oh, yes, evidently, absolutely. And meanwhile, it's just the foolishness of it. What are you watching to think that guy? Come on, man. Tariq Hill yesterday, two targets.
He only had two targets,
caught one for 8 yards. You know what that was. Wow. Catch it at the line of scrimmage and let him eat. Come on, dude.
I don't know how you don't get him involved in the running game, out of the backfield.
He runs past everybody. If you could throw downfield, you just throw it downfield. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're not throwing downfield means your quarterback can't throw downfield. He can't. Literally can't.
It's so funny to look at the landscape of the NFL. Everyone in the NFC North is in it. Only the Bills appear to be in it in the AFC East. It's Ravens and Steelers, and we'll see if Cincinnati can get back in it. Ain't Houston happening. Is the only team in the South that's scary right now. None of those other teams. You look out west in the NFC, mm-hmm. who's good? This league is drunk, man. Figuring it out week to week and seeing these teams play each other.
The NFC North surprises me.
Bad football, man.
Yeah.
It's bad football, and nobody plays defense anymore. You can forget that.
Why wouldn't you invest more in the offense knowing what goes on outside of pass rush? It's like, why wouldn't you invest in the offense? Because pass rushers, even though that they have their hands tied with how you can tackle the quarterback, like, who was it that got annihilated from the blind side yesterday? Maybe Daniel Jones, but who cares about him? And I'm like, oh, my God, are they going to throw a flag? No, it was just a clean hit, and he destroyed him. But I'm glad they didn't throw the flag there when we see it all the other time. And then there was another point where they said a lineman pushed a defender into a quarter. It was the Sam Darnold. Push a defender into his legs, and you watch the replay, and you're like, he dove at his knees because he got blocked. What are you talking about?
Let's go out. Everyone in the NFC North has a winning record.
Yeah. It's best division in football. Yeah, right.
The only team's 4-2.
Yeah. Let's go out to Tom in Easton. What's up, Tom?
I'd like to make a prediction about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
Undefeated, three-peat Super Bowl champ.
That ain't happened, but okay.
Are you drinking this morning, sir? Have you been watching them play?
I've been drinking some Diet Lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
Diet Lemonade? The Shovels at 8:45, MLB playoff recap at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we'll take a look at a wild weekend in college football. You talk about the NFL, it's strong. College football is bipolar. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Jalen Milroe fires, and it is intercepted. Will Brooks picked it off.
Alabama, Tennessee, courtesy of ESPN. And I'm telling you, my friend, if you're not watching college football, what are you doing? Alabama gets knocked off again. I said to Jeremy, guys, on Friday, if you want to know who Alabama is right now, you're going to get angry Alabama, and they'll go in there and they'll take care of business. If you don't get angry Alabama, it's not the Alabama that we're used to. This is not the Alabama team we're used to.
No, I mean, a lot of questions about them and whether or not Kalen DeBoer, who he's done a lot. I mean, look, he can take talent and turn it into something. I don't think Bama's going to be – they're not down, but they're not quite what we're used to seeing from them. Is that fair?
That's fair.
I think
that's it's fair, but they're going to have 3-4 losses.
You think so?
I don't think this is over with, man.
Look at the rest of their schedule. I was looking at Maryland's schedule coming into this weekend going, damn, they got to find a way to steal one at Minnesota. They stole one with USC. But
Jeremy.
Missouri coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed, I hate to say this because I hate this dude, but they could lose to LSU.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could. Yeah, they could lose. They're playing at LSU. Yeah. They could
right
lose.
After Missouri.
That could happen.
They could lose to LSU, man. That's the one you better circle. Alabama could lose to Missouri, but that means they'll lose 2 in a row and 3 out of 4. That just can't happen.
Like Tennessee was a little bit different. Obviously being at home helps, but I think with some of the SEC teams when, everybody's talking about like, oh, Texas got shell-shocked. Do they really want to be? Come on. They lost. They lost to a good team. They lost a tough game at home where their quarterback did not look good at all, and then they actually switched QBs in the game. But with that, yes, sir, you.
Can I say, I know the offensive line had a bad game against Georgia, and a lot of people have bad games against Georgia's pass rush, but stop messing around. Manning is the better option. Stop. The throw that he did not complete, I don't know how much of that game you were watching, where he had a guy underneath, but he was trying to make a play. When he threw the ball, I'm like, why did you make that throw? Then they showed the replay from the other end zone. If the receiver goes to the ground, that's a catch. Mm-hmm. He threw him open. There were two defenders on the receiver. When Manning threw it, he threw him open, and the receiver didn't complete the play. I was watching with my buddy Zach, and first, both of them was like, damn, don't make that throw. Then he showed the replay, like, damn, you got to make that catch. You got to lay out for that. I'm Jeremy, I don't care what his last name is, and it does have something to do with it. He is the better option right now for them.
He can play. He can play. Flat out play. And he can run. Gives him a little extra dimension there, too.
And he's got the it factor, too.
Yeah, he's got it. You got to get him on the field.
He's got a little it factor to him.
Hey, can you please say Ewers has to stay and play? Because I'm not. You're going to have me take another quarterback over a Manning?
Listen, I've been talking about them. Again, this is one of the teams I've been on. Yeah. And I think Manning is a better option.
He is.
He just is.
And I understand you can't really make that switch. Because Ewers comes back and you're undefeated.
Right.
Okay, you're not anymore. All right, stop messing around.
Yeah.
Stop messing around.
They took a beating.
Yeah, they looked like he was going to cry the other day. I was watching his eyes and just, you're done.
And you take him out of the game, he's sitting on the sideline with your helmet on. Take your helmet off, man. Sit aside with your helmet off and your arms folded like a little baby. Mm-hmm. Man, go do another Dr. Pepper commercial. Come on, dude. Stop playing around. The other guy's better. Stop playing around. And I think with the offensive line, also, you can roll him out a little bit more. I just think you can do more things with Manning.
Yep.
There's so many more things you can do. You can change the game plan. You can put him in and hope that the line holds up, but you can't put him in and then change the game plan. You got to go with the game plan. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're not. Anybody else shocked Vanderbilt's ranked?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've got some signature wins, too.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
Very
beat Kentucky the next week, too. And Kentucky's not a bad team.
I've never seen Vanderbilt in the top 25.
Watch their quarterback play. I'm not saying this kid's going to play on the next level, but he's one of those guys that just seems to get it done. It's 3rd and 13. He picks up 14.
And by the way, the two teams in front of him, it's Army and Navy.
Who are undefeated.
It's a weird year in college football. But
I told you, it's bipolar.
The college football playoffs are going to be phenomenal.
It would be crazy.
I was the guy that when did they go to the four team 10 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
It was about that time.
Is Ed
looking it up? Whenever they went to it, I remember having Bill Hancock on. I was on the midday show. I'm pretty sure I had Bill Hancock on. I was solo that day. And Bill Hancock and I, he's the executive director of the college football playoffs. We argued for literally the entire segment. About I don't like it. I don't like having
2014.
Yeah, you should not go because he was talking about then it's going to be four teams now. Maybe one day they'll expand it. Like, no, you're taking away the regular season of college football. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It may be the best thing to happen to college football. I'll admit it. It may be the best thing, Jeremy, that's happened to college football in a long time.
Yeah, and we get to see like watching Georgia play that way at Texas. You saw an inspired football team. Go in there and say, we got to make a statement. You're talking about Alabama slipping up. I was bringing up Indiana. If you guys haven't seen Indiana this year in the Big Ten, like we kept saying, it's Oregon or Ohio State. We might want to rethink this because Indiana's effing good. And they went to the coach and they're like, what is it about this team that's so good? He goes, if you check my resume, I win. And you go back and look at his resume. You know what he does?
Yeah.
He effing wins everywhere. He's big.
I wonder if he's going to be there next year.
That's always the question.
So who are the top quarterbacks besides the guy from Miami? That kid can flat out.
Thank you very much. Because if we don't mention Miami, my buddy Lavelle.
Cam Ward's awesome.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned because we have to mention them. Yes, they're 7-0, and they have the guy who, if I could talk about my Heisman vote, I would probably tell you. Did he get one? But
that young man can throw.
I would probably tell you that. But he's a beast.
But Shador is up at the top too.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Deion's kid.
All right. So and who else? Are there any? I haven't seen anybody that just kind of like played lights out. Just said, oh no, this guy.
I'm trying to think of the guys that would be coming out. I mean, we still have to make sure.
Georgia's quarterback Beck.
Yeah, Carson Beck.
Carson Beck's really good. Beck's good.
I don't know if you saw Cam Rising at Utah just got an eighth year in eligibility after.
Yeah, because he got hurt again. How many? Is that 7 years or eight?
This will be his eighth when he plays next season.
Cam Rising.
Yeah. Graham Rising.
Yeah.
So, no, but I'm trying to think. Once you ask me that question, I'm going, all right, I'm trying to go through all this. Jalen Milroe, if he comes out, I think he'll be up at the top. I'm not saying number one overall pick.
He looked lost.
I don't like him.
In that game. He looked lost.
I think he's over. I think he's a lot of hype. I do. I think he's Alabama hype. I think he's he's part of the problem of where the offense is right now. He has 13 touchdowns. Yay! He has 6 interceptions.
So you know there's like another, like a Jackson Dart or somebody that shows up in the first round. We're going, oh, I don't know.
The team
reaches for him. So I'm not
convinced by Milroe. I'm not.
A lot of people like him. A lot of people say he's a better version of Lamar.
Who are those people?
A lot of people. I don't agree with those people, but you didn't hear that this weekend?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. They were talking about it all over social media. Like, oh, it was Jaden Daniels, and then they brought up the week that Jalen Milroe had.
A better version of Lamar?
That's, yeah.
Oh.
Better passer.
I have to say this because I'd be completely remiss if I don't. I think that one of the surprise teams in the country this year, Clemson.
I don't know.
6-1, 5-0 in the ACC.
ACC sucks.
I understand, but
they're terrible.
They do. But you got to give them credit for what they're doing, though.
It's starting to click now, but like they were struggling early on.
That's why I said surprise, because, you know, number one, their coach doesn't do the transfer portal at all. He may lose one in the transfer. He's not getting one in the transfer portal. They lost big time to Georgia 34-3. You know, what they did against Appy State, meh. But they just turned it around and. Dabo Sweeney can coach.
Yeah.
I hate that team, but that Joker can coach his ass off, and he is doing a great job this year. Now, they'll go to the college football playoffs and get stomped the mud hole in them, but.
Yeah, they played a soft Virginia team over the weekend. It's terrible. Whew. Virginia's bad.
I got to tip my hat to him, man. They're doing a lot better than I thought they'd do this year.
They bring up Maryland beating USC, man.
I'm about to bring that up.
They did the alley-oop celebration on the kneel down. He throws the football in the air, and the guy dunks it through the quarterback Billy Edwards' arms.
How about people criticizing them for storming the field?
Why?
USC's not what USC used to be.
Makes no
difference. Let's stop for a second.
Yeah, you know that.
You have college kids, Mike, looking for a reason to have fun. They know who USC is. They don't care about what USC's record is this year. It's USC. College kids looking for a reason to have fun. Oh, what a shame. They ran on the field and had fun.
I hate
people, man.
I hate it.
You don't have to like it. But
I hate running on the field.
Yeah.
You don't have to like it.
I mean, you've got so many, and we've talked about this, security issues and things like that. You've had a team that just lost a football game, and fans running on the field screaming at them, running into it. It just causes too many problems.
Two different arguments, Jeremy. Should they do it? Should anybody do it? We could have that argument.
Okay.
But to say that Maryland shouldn't do it because it's USC.
Well, I'm not saying that.
That's dumb.
I'm with Rob.
That's dumb.
I don't like this stuff because it, for my mind, somebody's going to get hurt badly. But. I do get why Maryland do that, because it's so hard to get the students to come out.
Yes.
And it was a comeback, exciting win for homecoming.
Why you were talking about the lack of atmosphere down there, and you storm the field, and yet you criticize them for having some atmosphere.
Yeah. And there is a lack of atmosphere at Maryland.
There is. So hopefully that's the start of something. You know what I mean? If they had another big home win, you know, remember that day we beat USC? Doesn't matter. You write your own narrative. Who USC right now is irrelevant. They're still a flagship program.
Yeah. When Jack went there, I went to a lot of games, and I always like, man, this place is empty. You know, I was like, this.
Even when there's people out there, it sounds empty.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
It won't be the start of anything special. But they won. That's the way I look at it. Because I covered Maryland.
Locksley's done a good job there. I think he's done a great job. Better than most could in a situation.
His play calling, though, needs some help. If I see another bubble screen, you know, throwing the ball on the flat, letting them receivers try to run, come on, man, get the ball down the field. You got a quarterback, you can throw the ball. Let him throw. That's my only problem with them. And defensively, they're not very good.
Whew. Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris. Been a long time since you led this one. We're giving out shovels.
Yeah, to a very impatient son. It was a very weird encounter I had.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
Very impatient son. Was flying back, you know, from my hurricane relief effort down there, which was a joy. What a delight last week was. So I land at BWI, and I walk into the the garage just to go get my car. And I was just leaving the plane. And the lady on the elevator, I have a Ravens, it's this Ravens jacket, I have it on. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're playing us this week. You're playing my Buccaneers. And we're just talking. And she goes, I used to be from Maryland. And we're just chatting. And she's an older lady. Couldn't walk. She'd walk a little slow. And we're just talking. And I'm, telling her about what I thought about the game. And she's giving me her life in Maryland. Very nice person. We had a pleasant conversation. Her son is assisting her. Out of all of a sudden, and she's moving. We're walking. He's like, Ma, I want to go home. I just want to go home. I'm like, when the hell did that go? And she turns and goes, oh, you want to go home, do you? Okay. And she just kept talking. It's like, it was hilarious. I was like, wow.
How old was she?
In his 30s, I guess.
Oh,
He's a grown man. Oh, yeah. No, she was probably, a good 10, 15 years older than me, and he was, in his 30s or 40s. He was a grown man.
Mike.
But annoyed.
I'm still scared of my dad. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see the cause for it.
I am.
Not me. I could beat my dad's ass now. He's old.
How about your mom?
Too, but nah, not my mom.
My mom's got a killer left.
I don't mess around with my parents.
Somebody's going to tell my dad I said that, and I'm getting a phone call later.
I am. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to spice it up a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I put some extras in it.
Did your dad, did he come home drunk and want to fight all the time?
No, he was never like that.
No, I don't mean fight seriously. My dad had a thing. He would come home, he would wrestle with me until I got stronger. He hit that point.
I don't think my dad was ever a big drinker. Not to say he doesn't drink or anything like that.
I didn't say he had to be drunk. Just had a couple of pops in him and just wanted to,
I think he always wanted to fight. I've watched my dad beat up about 12 different people in my lifetime. I've never seen him lose a fight. He beat everyone's ass. Yeah. He fought two guys at once and beat them up.
You saw him beat 12 people? Be 13 when he whip your ass for talking crap.
Too old now.
Watch. Well, I'm going to help him.
He can't turn his head. I'm just going to keep circling
him. I'm going to help him.
What's up? You got me? Just wear him out.
I give my shovel to Texas Longhorn fans. They didn't like a call, so they started throwing stuff on the field. Yeah, that'll get it. It's just dumb, man. Again, it goes back to that whole, that mob mentality. We don't like the call, so let's throw things. Okay, that's not passion. That's stupidity. Sometimes when people do dumb things, they get labeled, they're passionate. No, you're not. You're an a-hole. Yeah. That's what you are. This has nothing to do with passion. Passion is you want to boo the call. You start throwing things on the field.
I hate it. Anytime you go to an event.
They put people in danger.
You're going to go to a movie and throw stuff at the screen because you didn't like the way it ended? It's just dumb.
It's childish. And it's having a childish temper tantrum.
I told you, they got texts, too. A lot of those kids got texts from Texas University saying they're banned from the rest of the year if they have them on video.
Mm-hmm.
So they would find out who they are, send them a text on their cell phone. And those students got banned for the rest of the season.
What happens when you play stupid games?
You win stupid prizes.
Who gets your shovel?
My shovel goes to the NFL. We were talking about this off the air. I think we got into a little bit on the air. Trent Williams was laying on the ground, on his knee, getting up. And Brian Cook, I believe it is, number 6, the safety for the Chiefs, punches him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, helmet on, punches his helmet. So Trent Williams gets up, and he punches him back. And we were talking about it. Second guy always gets caught. But in this day and age, we have replay. How is it that you can't go to replay to see that the other guy instigated it? Or at least, you don't even need to go to it. You've got the eye in the sky. You can't tell me they don't call down. We got 6 refs on the field and none of them see it happen?
You should just let them take the helmets off and see who wins. Because Trent Williams would murder him.
Oh, I couldn't believe he took a shot at him.
I couldn't either.
I mean, of all
that's
people.
That's the guy you want
really?
To
you want to go with him. Him.
Okay. Trent Williams.
Oh. With his helmet on, you idiot.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. Hey, Jeremy, can you imagine this? Rashawn has a prediction.
After last Saturday?
What was his last prediction, Jeremy?
That USC was going to smoke the Turks.
Oh, my God. He sent me texts when USC was up. I kept saying, you sure about this? Now he's calling it with another prediction. Rashawn, I hope you have the Bucks winning.
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Ravens fans don't like you, man.
Ravens going to take care of business. 37-27, man.
Hey, how was dinner last night?
Oh, man, it was great. It was great, man.
Who'd you go with?
Nice young lady, down here, that. I don't know, man. I might move down here, man.
We're neighbors soon.
You found the one?
Yeah, man. She kidnapped me, man. I'm not even Tampa no more. I'm in some place called Brandon.
Man,
Blaine,
I don't know what
Bradenton?
No, Brandon.
Brandon?
Brandon's okay. A suburb of Tampa. You,
right. Can I say this?
I guess I just want to tell people. Rashawn actually contacted me. He was going to come to my house and help with the cleanup for the hurricane.
But he
no
didn't.
Joke.
But he did.
I was done already. But he come did on. Offers.
I can't I believe you didn't even go over
put
there.
That out for the public to thank him.
Yeah, man. I was definitely like, yeah, I told you. I was going to come over. Man, I'm still in town. Hey, you know, I can stop by, man.
No,
you know?
No.
Can I say this?
I've been going over near my wife.
I've been married pretty much my whole life. These cats that have the single life, I live vicariously through you. What are you doing talking about settling down with some lady you just met? Stop it.
I don't know. That's Southern hospitality, man. You know, she took me out to dinner and everything.
Southern hospitality.
She about to make me breakfast. And,
you know what you should do? Yeah, I tell you what you should do. You cut your passport up to 50 pieces because you're never going anywhere anymore.
No,
that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, come home after the game, go down next month and find another one just like that.
Hold on, Rashawn.
All have Southern hospitality, my friend.
She's not 78, too. She's not one of those snowbirds going back to New York soon, is she?
No, man. She's 3 years older than me, man. She's about to be 41 in a few weeks, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice one, man. Nice, man. I'll send y'all some pictures.
We're good. We're good.
I'll take them.
Let's go to John in Parkville. What's up, John? John?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I just want to call out bad officiating in youth football games that influenced my son's Parkville Patriots team from having a undefeated season. Oh. And they called back a fumble that was an obvious fumble that we would have won the game. And they also said they scored the tying game touchdown that the player slid a yard into the end zone. So yeah. My shovel goes to them.
I think the hard part with that, too, is like you know, you're watching your kids or whether you're coaching them. You have biases coaching your team. You're going to look at certain things. I had a championship that we lost in youth football where the referees just weren't where they're supposed to be. The ball's lying on the ground, and they called a touchdown. I'm going, how the hell does that happen? But, again, you know, it's just one of those things.
I remember the days, I long for the days, Mike, when youth sports were meant for development.
How about that?
Yeah. Now they're treating it again like just how important a championship is. That's why when that ninth grader gets to me in high school, I got to teach her how to run, help defense, dribble with her left hand, finish with her left hand. Because all coming up to me, she was taught how to win by any means necessary.
My kids would get on me and get so upset.
I long for those days again. Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, recapping the MLB playoffs up next on The Fan.